That was a pretty long gospel, wasn't it? Whew, I really don't have to say much this morning. It was a really bad day. You see, this man was blind, had been blind from birth. He was a beggar because he really didn't have anything else he could do. And he was ignored by most people. So it was a bad day, but probably harder than others. It was a hard day. He'd seen a lot, but this day was harder. Maybe not bad, but harder. So this man, for him, every day was pretty much the same. Get up, go to this place in the town, all he had on his back, his blanket, his walking stick, probably a bag for coins that people would throw his way, and he would sit by himself. Maybe he would talk to himself or maybe sing, probably prayed, but listened. You see, even though he was blind, or probably because he couldn't see, all of his other senses, his hearing and his smell and his touch, and his taste, all of those senses were really acute and heightened. So he was always very well aware of his surroundings while they were familiar. So he knew what time of day it was. When it was cool in the morning, he could hear the merchants getting ready for the day. He could smell the fruit and the spices, the cumin and the turmeric. He could smell all those things and know, yep, today is another day, just like yesterday. He could hear the footsteps of people walking by. He could hear their voices as if, these are not strangers to me. I know these people. I heard him say the same thing yesterday that he said today. I heard her complain about that woman just 2 days ago. He knew their voices and he knew them, even though he couldn't see them. But this day was different. You see, this day, people were walking along, and then all of a sudden, he heard footsteps come right up to him, and they were footsteps that he didn't recognize. He didn't know the gate, but he heard the footsteps, and then everything changed. Everything changed for him. While this man was standing here who he didn't know, he could hear the voices of the other men around him. These men were just saying things that he'd heard before. Oh, this man is a sinner. Look, he's blind. I wonder if it was his parents or if it was him. And he'd heard this rhetoric, and it would make him angry. But then he heard this man, who he heard through the others, that his name was Jesus. He heard Jesus say, neither this man nor his parents were sinners. And that was enough to perk his ears. I think someone gets it. Then he heard the sound of something like someone spitting. And a few seconds later, he felt some cool, sticky something on his eyes. And it was startling, but he didn't move. And then he could smell it. You all know what dirt smells like, right? He knew that minerally smell. It smelled cold and like rocks. He knew it was dirt and spit, and he knew that Jesus was spreading it on his eyes, and he didn't move. And Jesus said, go now and wash in the pool of Siloam. It's a really weird request. He didn't know this guy, but somehow he trusted in all of this and went with it, and he could feel people's hands kind of lift him up and lead him on to the way to the pool of Siloam to see. He wasn't sure the way, but they were helping him. And he got there, and he washed the mud off his eyes and opened them and could see. And John writes in the gospel as if this is not a big deal. He went to the pool, he washed his eyes, and then he could see. But really, that was a really big deal, I'm sure, for this man. But he went back to the town, and thinking, this is really great, I can see. He walks back into the town, and the people are in disbelief. Like, who is this guy? He looks like the guy that sits on the corner, but I don't know, because he's walking around as if he can see. And other people are saying, no, it's not him, really, it's not, it couldn't possibly be. And others who knew something was different said, how is it that you can see? What happened? He's like, I don't know. This man just put, you know, mud on my eyes, I went to the pool and I washed, and now I can see. It's amazing. And they said, okay, well, where is he? I don't know. At that point, Jesus left. Jesus did his thing, and then we don't hear from Jesus again for a while, so we don't know where he went. And that kind of made them suspicious. So they took him to the Pharisees, to see the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were, you know, upset, kind of wondering, and all those things that you would do if you saw a man that you were told was born blind and now he could all of a sudden see. And they were concerned also because it was the Sabbath. So what's going on here? Things aren't supposed to happen on the Sabbath, and this definitely is not supposed to happen on the Sabbath. So they went through the same questions that the townspeople did. So you were born blind, but now you're seeing. What happened? And he told the same story over again. And then they started quarreling with each other, and they were divided. Some said, well, whoever did this couldn't be a man of God because he wouldn't have done it on the Sabbath. And then there was the other camp that said, well, he did it. So he must be a man of God because not everybody can do this. And so they were divided. And so they thought, okay, we can't come to a consensus, but let's call his parents in because his parents know the truth. They'll tell us. The parents came in and they asked the same questions. Is this your son? And can you verify that he was born blind? And do you know how this happened? And they said, yeah, he was born blind. This is our son, and we know that he was born blind. And we also know that now he sees. But what we don't know is how it happened. Now, I suspect they probably did know what happened. But in those days, if you even breathed Jesus and Messiah in the same breath, you were kicked out of the synagogue. And so they were afraid to say anything about this man Jesus and that Jesus had anything to do with this healing. So they left their son out to dry. They just said, okay, he's of age, ask him. We don't know. We're not going to take any responsibility for this. You ask him. He's got it. And so they left. And there's the son on his own again. And the Pharisees, he comes back to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees do the same thing, and he can imagine how tired and frustrated he must be. Yes, the man put mud on my eyes. He was a prophet. I went to the pool. I washed the mud off my eyes, and then I can see. And they wanted to know, well, how, why, all those questions. And he said, I don't know. I don't know, but what I do know is that I was once blind, and now I can see. Why do you keep asking me all these questions? Is it because you want to be a disciple too? And that pretty much made them mad. So they kicked him out, and out he was, on his own. He'd been separated completely from the only community that he knew. Now, these weren't people that necessarily cared for him deeply, and he certainly lost his family. They left him out. But they were the community that he knew, and he was no longer part of it. He was on his own. You can imagine how his head was spinning. What on earth just happened? I have my eyesight. This should be an amazing day, and it's not. Ever since I got my sight, it's been nothing but trouble. What on earth has happened? So Jesus caught wind of what was happening. He knew, and he went out and he found the man. He went out and sought him, and he found him. And so when he found him, he completely revealed himself to the man as the Son of God. And this man, for the very first time, laid eyes on Jesus and believed in him and worshiped him. So it was a bad day. It was a hard day, harder than he'd ever had. And it was a really great day. Better than he'd ever had. Something happened. It was a day of transformation. transformation that was going to last a lifetime for this man, because when he could see, when Jesus anointed his eyes and he washed the mud and he could see, his life changed forever. And that pool, the pool of Siloam that means sent, was sending him out to do the work that he was sent to do. So I wonder if you might consider, we're just about halfway through Lent, and I wonder if we might consider how we are being transformed. I mean, these things can happen all of a sudden. Transformation can be dramatic or it can be slow over time. But transformation is usually messy. It's not usually neat and tidy. This is it one day, oh, look what happens, and now life is happily ever after. There's a lot of messiness in there. Things get thrown our way. Life gets out of control. Sometimes it's fun. Sometimes it's frightening. But Jesus knows. Jesus knows us as well as he knew the blind man, and as well as he knows everybody. He knows what's happening in our lives, and he will find us, always. And so we hang on to that. So as we are transformed in these next few weeks of Lent, three, I guess, right? One, two, three, we're now four, five, six. Three more weeks to think about our own transformation and the ways that God is working in our lives. Small ways, big ways. How is God preparing you to do God's work in the world? And so I pray that may we be open, completely open, to the messiness of transformation. Beyond our wildest imagination, may we be transformed. And in being transformed, then, may we become agents of transformation in the world. And for this, we say thanks be to God.